So I learned a new word a couple weeks ago called carpalepsy. Anybody heard of it? It describes a person who's in the passenger seat who falls asleep shortly after the car takes off on trips and stuff. So I know somebody who has this, and it's not my wife. It's not the driver, by the way. It's the person in the passenger seat that has this. You know, maybe it's the vibrations, they say, you know, the science of it, or the white noise of the engine. But maybe it's because we are all just so busy and constantly stimulated that we get in the car, there's nothing else to do but fall asleep. So answer me this. Can anyone identify with this routine? You wake up in the morning, you go to your job, you go to school, even if you're retired, talk to a lot of retired people that are more busy than when they had their job. You do stuff around the house, whatever. You get tired, you do this, you do that. You take your kids here, you take them there. You go to bed at night, you're tired all day. You wake up the next morning, start all over, and you're more tired than the day before. And then it's just a non-ending cycle. Anybody identify with that? Thank you. So their reports show that we should get 7 to 9 hours of sleep on a regular basis. Who's heard the phrase before, "I'll sleep when I'm dead"? Anybody heard that? Maybe you've said that before. Well, National Institute on Health said this: lack of sleep has been shown to increase the risk of premature mortality. In a recent review of various surveys, it was concluded that individuals who slept for less than 6 hours each night had a tenfold greater risk of premature mortality than those who obtained 7 to 9 hours of sleep. So there you have it. You can live longer if you sleep more. So what letters or words come to mind when you see like iconic tombstones or tombstones in the comic strip or something like that? What comes to mind? Things that are written on the tombstone. R.I.P. Rest in peace. So why don't we just slow down and rest more? Because I don't know about you, but I, for one, would like to rest in peace before I'm dead. We got an amen. You know, if only God had thought of this, or maybe even come up with a commandment about all this, he could help us out, maybe. Which is exactly what we're talking about today. Of course he thought about this. God took 6 days to create the world and everything in it, create us. And the seventh day, he rested. And now we got this third commandment: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And by the way, this commandment is more than just going to church on Sunday morning. So keep that in mind. And this morning we are going to talk about the Sabbath and the Pharisees, and of course we're going to talk about Jesus too. But our event today that we are going to read is taken from Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 23. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, Jesus' disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did? When he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" And Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And so God's purpose for giving us this commandment is not to be a burden on us at all. It's so that we can rest and remember. We need rest, but we also need to remember what God has all done for us in our life. And of course, we are honoring the Sabbath now by being here together, worshiping together, remembering what God has done for us. But you can do this every day of the week, by the way. So let's talk about these Pharisees. With this event that I just read, we once again see the Pharisees trying to bust Jesus and the disciples with breaking a law. And so they accuse the disciples. What they were doing is they were walking through the fields, a field with grain. They were plucking the grain off and then rubbing them between their fingers and eating the grain, which, by the way, is abiding by the law. If you go to Deuteronomy, where it talks about the law, it says this. If you go into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes, as many as you wish, but you shall not put any in your bag. If you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain. In other words, if you're walking through somebody's field and you're hungry, you can eat, but you can't start harvesting it and keeping it for yourself. God put this in there as a way of being hospitable to your neighbors, looking out for one another. And so what the disciples were doing wasn't wrong, but they were doing this on the Sabbath, which is what the Pharisees were upset about. They were accusing them of working because taking the grain off and rubbing them between their fingers was working. You know, the Pharisees made up all kinds of extra laws in addition to God's law. All these other laws, in fact, there's 39 of them that they imposed on people just in regard to the Sabbath day. Here's a couple of those laws that they imposed on the people. You could not spit on the Sabbath because it would disturb the dirt and you would be guilty of plowing. You could not swat a fly on the Sabbath because you would be guilty of hunting. A woman could not look at her reflection because she might see a gray hair and pluck it out, which would be doing work. These are the kinds of laws they imposed on the people for the Sabbath. And then they came up with loopholes for some of their laws. So in other words, if your house was burning down on a Sabbath, you could not carry clothes out of it. However, you were allowed to put on several layers of clothes as the house was burning down. You could leave without breaking the law because you were wearing them instead of carrying them. So as your house is burning down, just keep putting more clothes on. Then you're okay. You're not breaking the law. Another one, you could not travel more than 3/5 of a mile from your house on the Sabbath. However, you could leave food 3/5 of a mile from your home on the night before, which would make it permissible to walk twice the distance without breaking the law. So they even came up with loopholes. So to put it bluntly here, the disciples were not breaking the law. Why do I say this? Because Jesus said they weren't. He even uses an example of an event from David, who they all adore. They would have known this event that Jesus was talking about, where David and his men were running from Saul, and they come to the temple, and they had a table in the temple area that had bread on it. This was the bread of presence. But anyway, they weren't supposed to eat it. The only ones that were supposed to eat it were the priests. But David and his men ate it because they were hungry, and it was okay. And so if it was okay for David, it's certainly okay for Jesus. Jesus is establishing his authority here when he dropped the mic by saying, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus said so. You know, it's so easy to criticize these Pharisees, isn't it? They're coming up with these special laws, these loopholes to the laws. But it got me to thinking how we can be like the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees taught a theology of works. Work hard, be good, clean up your act, follow the rules, be a better person, do this, do that. On the Sabbath, do this, do that, on the other days of the week. Then you will be a great person like we are, because we keep all the laws, and if we can't keep them, we'll make up loopholes so that we can still keep them. You see, the Pharisees got it all wrong. They had stripped the Sabbath of what its true purpose and meaning was. They made it all about what they did and what the people did, and not about what God did for them at all. Jesus said in the Mark passage I read that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You see, they were making it all about themselves and how good they were by keeping these laws. But you know what? We can fall in this same trap that the Pharisees fell into. We like to make things about us and what we do too, don't we, at times? If you've ever answered the question, this is the question, what makes you a good Christian? If you've ever answered that question with things like, well, I go to church every week, or I'm an active member of Promise Lutheran Church, or I do good things, definitely more good than bad, and I'm definitely better than most people. If you've answered that question, anything like that, that's no different than what the Pharisees are doing here with the way they have treated the Sabbath. The Pharisee way on the Sabbath was definitely not about resting at all. In fact, it was very burdensome to the people because they were so specific about what you can and can't do on the Sabbath. They totally missed the point. And we can miss the point too when we make it all about us. Because remember, God gave this as a gift for us. He rested on the seventh day. He is looking out for us by giving us a day of rest. And remember what Jesus said. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of everything. Everything. And you know, Jesus also said something. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of everything. And he also said this in Matthew chapter 11, 28 and 29. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. How many of us take this seriously? How many of us come and dump our stuff onto Jesus? Or do we like to take the yoke and just do it ourselves? Look at what Jesus is saying to us. Come to me, I will give you rest. And Jesus has a pretty good track record of keeping his promises. He will give you rest. God created the Sabbath for you. It's so we take time to rest and remember what God has done for us. You know, I've heard this question. I've only been a pastor now for 4 years. And I've heard this question at least a dozen times, probably more already. And maybe you've heard this question too. It goes something like this. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? What's the answer? Somebody said no. Technically, no. But I usually don't say yes or no to that question. I answer that question with a question. Why would you not want to go to church? If you claim to be a follower of Jesus, why would you not want to come to church on Sunday? By the way, the Sabbath in the Old Testament and the New Testament times was Saturday. But now it's Sunday because that's when Jesus rose from the dead and that's the day we celebrate. Is it okay if you worship God on Saturday? Of course. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is. It's the idea of taking time for God and His Word, not despising it. Reading God's Word in your home by yourself with your family, taking time to go to church, to be with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Does it matter if you mow your lawn on Sunday? No. Does it matter what you do on Sunday? No, because remember, it's not about you. It's about God and what He's done for us. It doesn't matter when you take Sabbath or when you rest. If it were, it would be about us. It's about Jesus and what He did for us. And by the way, He has done all the work for us already. He has finished the race for us already. He took all of our sins to the cross and died for them. And because of that, He obtained salvation for us. And we get to be with Him in heaven forever. Jesus did all the work for us. And because Jesus did all the work, we can truly rest in peace here now. And then we most certainly, when we leave this earth, be resting in peace because we will be with Jesus forever. Amen.